Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles, here with my co-host.
And I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace. Well, welcome back, Sean. I can't wait to figure out what we're doing today.
Well, we've talked about a lot of things through the seasons that are interesting. And today is a very interesting real talk that you and I are going to have together, because we're diving into something we're seeing unfold right now in culture, which is there's golden opportunities for Christians under this Trump leadership in America that is affecting Christians worldwide. And we've noticed a wave of fresh doors opening, like industries of faith-based media, energy, education, tech, medical stuff, even building conservative alternative business platforms. And the question is, are we ready to step through those doors? Whether you like Trump or not, it's brought a golden age for either Christians or conservatives that we haven't had in a long time.
It's really interesting because, you brought up the Trump word, and he's been in office, and there's been a lot of things happening that are scary and confusing. And, you know, one of the things that when people are asking me about it is, I think that, you know, there's short-term pain right now for long-term gain. Yeah. Now, whether you're for Trump or against Trump, there's still all these opportunities that are out there. The media tends to focus on the negative, but we're seeing, you know, as faith-based people, incredible opportunities and momentum.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. I think it's going to be a really profound talk, because it might open some of you who have been hearing from the media where it's all negative. It might open your eyes, because there's so many Christian business leaders right now that are coming to the top of their field, whether, again, it be in entertainment or media or, I mean, spaces like the public square space, which is actually competing with a portion of Amazon's market share. That's crazy that a Christian conservative company is doing that in a retail space. Bob, then we're going to be joined by a guest, Justin Price, who knows something about building meaningful from the ground up. Justin Price is a visionary leader and founder of Verse, a thriving full-service marketing agency that specializes in helping nonprofits and cause-driven organizations break through with a purpose, which is so good.
Yeah. Justin's helped teams scale, navigate growth, bring high-level strategy to life across businesses. And you'll hear him talk about the P&L and talk about the Lord and talk about the Bible business. And he's really, really an interesting guy. And he's following God's calling in bold ways.
Well, another thing I want to say about him is we're going to ask him to share about the passing of his wife and just that story, which was right when he was starting his business. Because so many people, when they launch something, go through something personally that's really traumatic or hard as well. And he's going to share. So some of you want to stick in just for that story. It's going to be so profound. Before we get there, make sure to subscribe to this podcast, follow us on YouTube, and listen to this message from our sponsor. We'll be right back. Our sponsor today is Birch Gold, and Birch Gold is going to help you find a little known loophole in the IRS to protect your retirement, your IRA, your 401k with precious metals. And this is an incredible company. They have amazing consumer reviews. You can look them up. They're one of the top, if not the top, in their industry. And they're sponsoring us and giving you a free information guide by going to birchgold.com/Sean Bowles. Bowles is spelled B-O-L-Z. And when you go there, you're going to talk to their experts, whether you get the guide or talk to somebody. They are so informative, and they're going to help you to go on the journey to stabilize your financial future. And we know that gold has been a standard for thousands of years, and it is today still. You don't want to miss out on your opportunity to do something for your financial future and your children's future. Go there today. Well, Bob, our topic today is golden opportunities in a Trump era for Christians in the marketplace. And I mean, today we're talking about something we're already seeing play in real time. Christians are stepping in unprecedented opportunities across all kinds of industries since Trump took office again. Whether you love it or not, this shift has opened so many doors for people of faith to have more influence, creativity, and leadership in sectors we've been long sidelined in. I mean, for sure.
Markets respond to change and disruption. And we're in a season where there's disruption, deregulation, values-driven consumer markets. I mean, look at what's happening with movies and things and shifting global influence. We don't know what's happening. So if Christians are paying attention, this is a window to build something. And in the past, you know, Sean, I know business people who've started businesses that nobody thought they had a chance. And they did because God's on it.
Well, and we're seeing like the rise of homeschooling and homeschool type materials has increased by like 9% in 1 year. 9%, that's crazy. We're watching film and media has had some of the top successes of the year already since January have been The Chosen at season 5. It's been House of David on, it's been the number one show on Amazon Prime. Like Amazon's going all in on faith and family because their number one show they've ever done is a faith-based project with the Wonder Company. We're watching Angel Studios has released King of Kings. So many independent studios and then also mainstream studios are going all in on faith projects. Then we're seeing companies like in the retail space, like Public Square, who has a significant market share they're stealing from Amazon of retail spaces where people are buying products with the values that they align with. And so Public Square gives you the ability to see what their values are before you buy it. So we're no longer preaching the choir as far as the faith-based community just making products that don't really make a splash in mainstream culture. We're seeing mainstream culture embracing conservative and even Christian-themed projects, which I think is wild.
I think it's wild too. I mean, we're looking at like Lauren and I just loving the House of David. And
yeah.
We're looking at these films, but like even in the sectors like energy and oil, it's crazy what's happening because these policies, I really do believe that is for America first. And so it's bringing jobs back, domestic oil and gas. I think the clean energy stuff, there's room for us everywhere. And I think energy independence is a big deal. And believers who we've talked to over the years can steward resources and have been stewarding resources. And it's for such a time as this.
Yeah, it's funny because I was in a business meeting here for Christians in the Dallas area that I moved into about a year ago. And so I was in a meeting just maybe 4 months. It was right before Christmas. So it was a little while ago. And there was three CEOs of oil companies who were Christians, and they were generational companies. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, like, finally, we have Trump who's giving us our energy companies back. And one of them leaned over because we're at round tables and he was sitting next to me. He leaned over and I just met him. Amazing man. I wish I could tell you his name, but I don't want to give him away, you know, in the sense of who he is. But he's, you know, their company's a $1 billion company. And he leans in and looks at me and goes, I want to fund the biggest kingdom projects you can fund. And we've been like handcuffed because of these laws that have been under previous administrations. And now the oil will flow again, both in the spirit and the natural. Like God gave our family this company in the 1920s. And I was just like thinking about how something has shifted for people to where there's even, it's not just new companies. It's also companies that have been waiting for their time. And it seems like something's happening where there's laws and there's executive orders that are allowing people to do things that they're supposed to be doing again. And it goes all the way into AI, like AI and tech and these kind of companies. Like tech was resisting Christians from even advertising events or advertising Bible projects or anything online. Like you can do it on Facebook or Instagram, and you surely couldn't do it on Twitter. And that's all changed now. Like Meta has gone with the open policy of like freedom of speech again for the first time. They've repented to even the Christian community. Mark Zuckerberg said, like, we did something wrong here. And we want to fix it. So I think like we're in a new day.
It's really interesting. And Sean, we're not talking about politics here. We're talking about God breathing on our country. And men and women are mortal and make mistakes. But we're looking at what's happening in our country. And it's our job to shift with the times and to shift into what God's doing. And that's why we have this podcast, is to hear the stories of what God's doing. And he's doing things incredibly in lots of different areas right now.
Yeah, and I think people need to have courage. And so I'm hoping you get that from this even before we get to Justin, because I feel like to me that the standpoint of saying God is doing more good than man's doing bad is a really important thing in your heart to keep it when it comes to your career. Maybe you've been looked over for promotion, or maybe you've tried to start a business before and it just didn't go well. And that doesn't mean you stop. I mean, I think it's like we get back on the saddle again and we just look at our opportunities and say, okay, what can I do now? And I feel like God is for you. So who can be against you? And there's trial and error and there's feasibility and all the things that we have to do. But like, this is a really important time. And I know I've been around in conversations with four different think tank type groups of people who are planning things in the entertainment. People who are planning things for, like I was with the guys who he gets us campaign for the Super Bowl that is fully funded in an incredible way. Like just different groups who are funded or they're doing things like the AI project that's translating Christian values and Bible stuff into every language known to man, because AI, you can't even keep up with translation companies with what AI is doing right now. I've been around stuff that's just so forward thinking that I don't have room for hopelessness in my heart when it comes to what God's doing. And I think we have to get filled with that again, and we have to allow God to give us hope. And you can't get that from listening to news media and listening to most podcasts, because most of them will tell you what's not happening. And we have to be focused on what God is doing so we can see that there's golden opportunities, and then we can ask God for our golden opportunity.
Yeah, I think sometimes we wonder, like, do our values matter? And we're seeing companies that you know, put a lot of hope into the DEI stuff, and it's changed. And the companies that are now thriving are companies that have had values and remain steadfast with values. Not only companies, but people. And our values do matter, and people do see what we stand for, even though we're human and we make mistakes.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, keep the faith, keep the courage. Values matter. Ethics and morality matters. And that's what we as believers stand for.
Absolutely. So just to encourage you guys as we kind of close our real talk, I just want to tell you a story that, Bob, you don't know. A friend of mine worked on the House of David as an executive at Amazon. And at the time, they didn't know, Amazon didn't know if they were going to go all in on this yet. And they also had a very intense DEI program where it was like everything, especially identity politics, these kinds of things had to be have some level of inclusion on every program, even if it was going to be a biblical epic. They couldn't think of it without the filter of DEI, which didn't make sense for historical pieces, but it's just where culture was at. And she was standing there going, I know I'm still supposed to negotiate with these companies like the Irwin Brothers and others, even though this is the policy in the company, I trust God. And so she stood in her values and explained to them why DEI in that, and she's a Black woman, why DEI in that context wouldn't work on House of David to include like certain social identity politics that were maybe LGBTQ+ or whatever. And they'd listen to her and they're like, you're right, but we don't know how to get around this because this is the value of our company. And when Trump was elected, immediately Amazon, amongst other companies, Facebook, others, dropped the wrong inclusive DEI where it's more special interest. And they said, we're not going to have these departments anymore. It's not fair to everybody. It's not equitable for everybody. We're realizing the mistake we made and how we've gone after that. What I believe a lot of social workers put a good thought into DEI, and then a lot of businesses twisted it for special interest groups. And so I think it was really powerful to watch her and her role to be able to broker a deal with the Irwin Brothers and Wonder Project. And it didn't need to have anything that had to do with these wrong values and these wrong politics, these wrong themes. They were able to just make a really good program. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really profound to know that, like, just be faithful. Just be faithful in who you are. Some of you are standing in the middle of a golden opportunity, but there's a giant in your way. And it may be a political thing or something that stands against your values. But if you're faithful, God's going to lead you past it and still look. Maybe it's in energy or in crypto or whatever. You have this huge opportunity. Look for God to come all the way through in the opportunity, even if there's an obstacle.
Oh, that's so good. Sean, who do we have coming up?
Well, our guest today is visionary leader with a deep passion for people and purpose. Justin Price has led industries, music, tech, nonprofits, and he's the founder of Verse, a full-service marketing agency that helps mission-driven organizations thrive. He's known for building teams and scaling businesses and providing powerful strategies that bring vision to life. But what I really love about our conversation today is we get to talk to him about his personal life that was developing in a tragic way while he was developing his company over the first 8 years. And he had a wife with a debilitating sickness, as well as they had a baby during that sickness who has Down syndrome, who's an amazing young girl who's now 10. And so he's going to tell some of the story of the behind the scenes up next. I want to invite you to come and grow in the prophetic and spiritual gifts. And you have to do this intentionally or you won't see the results you want. We have a powerful tool for you called the Spiritual Growth Mentoring Community. We do 4-week live courses with amazing speakers. And we have a prophetic nurturing community as well. And one of my favorite things that we do is online activation and connect groups with our pastors. So you actually have equipping opportunities to grow that are real time. You're going to practice what you learn in classes. On top of that, I get to be your monthly prophetic accelerator coach and teach you how to go on a journey in the prophetic that maybe you've never been on before. And if you have been, you're going to get impartation. You get to ask your questions. You get real prayer. And the atmosphere that I said, I think is one of the best you're going to have when pursuing hearing God's voice. 2025 is going to be our best year yet. Upcoming courses are all about how to grow deeper in the prophetic. We're going to talk about breaking curses in with the demonic, going after words of knowledge. And we have teachers who are going to give you the secrets of prayer. And we're going to help you move forward in God and all that he has for you. We care about your spiritual growth. And I know you care about it too. So come join us.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Justin Price. Justin, so happy to have you.
Bob and Sean, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Justin, I'm so excited too. I know Bob and I got to talk to you kind of the pre-setup for the show and just hear some of the things that our producer showed us about your life. And one of the things I want to just take our listeners and our viewers on a journey of is just you were launching like your business after having like lots of success in life, and your wife started to have a very quick, well, it wasn't a quick decline, it was over years, but like a quick disease that hit her at the same time as you're launching a business. Kind of take us on that journey, because this is really intense. And I think a lot of people can relate to like when you're starting something and how family, like how you have to focus and just the divide that happens sometimes.
Sure. Well, my wife was struggling with a really complex disease, which is Lyme disease, but she had what most specialists would say she was their worst case. Wow. And so for about 20 years, she fought it. And eventually over the last like 10 years, it would have been 12 years now. It put her into bed rest, and it broke the blood brain barrier and started to really mess with her, cognitive. And what was really kind of cool though, is like before her last 10 years, we had a little bout of remission, and she got pregnant. And we had we were told probably in the first couple of months of the pregnancy that looked like we had a daughter who was Down syndrome, and that the doctors were like, you can abort this baby and don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. We're like, absolutely not. Like we were like, why would we do that? We found a doctor who is going to work with us through the birth. And that actually kickstarted both me into working with a lot of pro-life organizations, and just feeling like I just wanted there to be more truth out there. And then it also kickstarted us into understanding and embracing what it was going to be like to live with a Down syndrome daughter. And so that 10 years that followed that kind of, spurred on the need for me to change the way my work was set up, mm-hmm. So building the agency, that is Verse Creative, I just had to figure out how to be flexible. I had to be really efficient. I think as a creative, I was always struggled to be super efficient. And I wanted to spend time in the details and work, do the best work of my life every time I picked up whatever project it was. And instead, I had to start to figure out how to build systems and build teams and scale so that we could accomplish the things we wanted, the impact we wanted to make for the organizations that were hiring us. But meanwhile, I'm a caretaker. And then as she continued to go downhill and have more and more bad days than good days, I had to figure out how to also be in many days a single dad and put the right support around me and figure out how to be efficient, but also how do I build teams that can replicate myself and with creativity in solving really complex problems. Most creatives don't figure that out. Most creatives get stuck saying, I'm just the artist. I'm the guy or the girl. And God just kept spurring me on. Like he kept giving me these really big problems to solve. We have, some amazing, really big accounts and campaigns that we've gotten to work on over the last 10 years that we've had this agency, but it was always like in the midst of like chaos, of like running to doctor's appointments. And at some point it triggered some bipolar, which was very, very traumatic. Some bipolar, I wouldn't call them, I know if I'm calling them symptoms or it just triggered that disease in her brain. And trying to protect my daughter while also caring for my wife, my late wife was a huge challenge. And then about 2.5 years ago, God took her. And as she passed, I found myself, with an agency that was built in the midst of all this chaos. I had a daughter who you know, had just hung on. And through this 8 years of craziness and all of this pain. And as I was sharing with Bob earlier, the feeling I had was like, if God had carried me through this and he was showing me mercy on the other side of this, I have this amazing burden to do better and to take all of this and make it worth something. And so that's what I'm doing every day. That is the other side of it, is going, how I want to take that. And I've got a chip on my shoulder to go, you know, I'm not going to go through all of that and waste that.
It's so interesting, Justin. As you're speaking, I'm hearing, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. And I can hear in your voice and in our discussion that you did a great job. Mm-hmm. You did a great job as a caretaker and as a, you know, as a dad to your daughter. You're not a victim. And I so appreciate going through such a traumatic thing of losing your wife and caretaking for your daughter. It's just a breath of fresh air to hear, like, when you said chip on your shoulder, I was like, okay, that's like, you're a creative with a chip on your shoulder for all the right things. And I just love your story. And like, bring us up to speed on what's happening now in your life and with the company.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, anytime you come face to face with your greatest fear, which for me was being alone and losing this 20-year relationship that I had invested into, I kind of looked around and God just showed up every single day and he kept showing up. I didn't feel alone. My fears of having to start over and, God forbid, you know, get a dating app or something like that. I didn't want to be a single dad. But here I am, you know, at 38 going, oh man, what am I going to do? And God gave me the most amazing woman who came in and, into my life. And it was incredible because I knew exactly what I was supposed to do, what I was called to do. And she met a guy who had a clear vision and a great track record of being a great dad. I mean, so it was really neat to say, we both want the same things. This is pretty cool. And so we said, let's just keep testing this relationship and put it to action. And, a year ago we got married and so we kind of took all the steps almost in misbelief of like, I kept saying, I can't believe she's still hanging around, you know, she's up for this. She's way out of my league and young and beautiful and super, super smart, and so disciplined and so in so many great ways, the perfect complement to me in completely different ways than my late wife. And it's so cool because there's like, God has given me the grace of not even making a comparison game, because it's just, it feels so like two different chapters, two different lives. Yeah. All together. And she has just embraced Chloe, our 10-year-old, and been such an amazing blessing to her. And then we found out about 7 months ago, we got pregnant way faster than I had thought would be possible. And so anyways, we've got a baby on the way, which, you know, just to point back to God, like just to kind of say, with the situation I was in, we couldn't, even if I wanted to have another baby, if I wanted to give Chloe a sibling as a dad, I didn't think that I should bring another kid into that scenario with the bipolar and the trauma and the things that were going on. And I didn't really know if I could even handle it, even if I selfishly wanted to do it. I didn't know if that was something that was feasible. And then and to fight God on that, to say like, no, God, I'm hanging on to this and I'm going to fight. I'm not, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to hang on to this at whatever costs. And he was gracious enough to say, I'm going to take this from you. I'm going to take this situation, this pain, and I'm going to redeem it. And so on this side, it was like, when that happened, it was a massive loss of all of the things that I had hoped and dreamed were going to come out on the better side. I believed God was going to heal her. I thought there was going to be this redemption story. And he always gave me peace about this, that his good was going to prevail through all of this pain. And I just had only imagined it one way. And instead he brings it in the form of this amazing woman and an opportunity to now have lots of kids and an opportunity to have a support, a partner in work and who says, I support you in what it is the cause that you guys are trying to do with this agency. And I believe in it and I believe in you and I'm going to support you as a partner and as a wife. And so it has just been, it's been almost like 2 years of just absolute adventure. I can't say it in any other words than just an amazing adventure. Not easy. We have not chosen an easy path, but it has been amazing.
I mean, I think sometimes when you look at your time frame with God, your timeline with God, and you can hindsight it and have that 2020 vision, it's so beautiful that God had this in store for you. You know, there was a measure of suffering from both your wife suffering, you suffering, Chloe suffering, but at the same time, a relationship that burst. You know, you to the ability to be able to make this company and have Chloe and these whole things. And then there's like this double portion. Bob and I have both been in Job this year. And we've read it, you know, starting in the beginning of the year, we've talked about it quite a bit. And it's really interesting because getting a double portion back after you've lost precious things that you really loved isn't enough. But when you get the Lord's version of it and you have him in it, it's always enough. He's always enough. And so just watching, you know, your story as you're telling it, it's just a beautiful story. But in the midst of that, I want to get into the business because I feel like it's so parallels. Not many people will rip back the business story to tell the real life, you know, underground, undercurrent story. But you were working with churches and Christianity and ministries and stuff, and then you kind of started this whole org in the midst of it. Like, tell us about that and the, like going after this in such a big way with marketing. What has that been like? And tell us about just like who your clients are and what that looks like for them and how God's used this.
Sure. I mean, ultimately, from working in-house as a creative director, who had multiple large churches that we had doubled, and feeling like I had a good grip on branding and communication and marketing and systems. God gave me this gift to be able to bridge creativity and business and systems, which a lot of artists don't have. Oh, that. So and weird. I'm not saying I'm the best artist or the best business guy, but I am probably one of the best guys at bridging the two. And that turns out there's a huge need for that. And a lot of people would come up to me and say, you know, we'd be at a church. They had seen a full rebrand. They'd seen a whole changeover communication system. They'd see all this growth. We're adding services, you know, 4 and 5 services now. We're maxing out these rooms. And they're like, this all just happened in the last 2 years. And then I'm looking at my business and going like, Justin, could you help me with my business? Because the church I go to is crushing it in all these areas. And I got like a $20 million business over here. That doesn't even look half as good. You know, it's not doing half as well with growth. Can you apply any of those things? And for a long time, I believed, no, that's taking away my energy and focus from this one ministry calling. And God revealed to me that like, it was actually an opportunity for me to grow and expand my strategic understanding of humans. And so in embracing taking on some of those side projects, the agency was really born out of multiple requests over and over again saying, can you help us? Can you help us? And then the last church I was at had gotten to a point where it's like, we couldn't grow anymore. And I wanted to expand to satellite campuses. And they said, and the lead pastor said, I don't feel God calling me to do that. And I was like, that is awesome, but you don't need me full-time here. Cause what I can do for you to maintain, if we're just going to maintain, I can do that like contract. And so that was the changeover that allowed that to happen. And then I just started jumping in with the requests that were coming in. We've mostly been a referral based agency, because when you focus on really helping and bringing value as an agency, the agency is verse, and it means it's Dutch for the word fresh. And we bring a fresh approach of coming in, and we bring a bunch of ideas, tools and systems and processes with a lot of award-winning creative people. And when you mix those two together with your organization, it is like we're bringing way more value than we are expense. And that's our mission. Like, we are there to make a change, to stop wasting money on marketing that's not working. And to start, you know, maximizing every opportunity you have to grow. And so that word of mouth opportunity, you know, for us grew really quickly, and I had to figure out how to scale as those opportunities grew from small local businesses to international organizations where we're, you know, working with $1 billion companies.
That's so amazing. And I as I listen to your story, Sean and I have talked, you know, over the decades to so many creative people, and you identify yourself as a creative person, but you sound like a CEO.
He does.
And which you are. And so kind of this two-pronged question. The first is, if you would talk to creatives who say things like, I don't know about math and I don't know about business and I don't know about strategy. Like how can you encourage them? And then the second thing is as a CEO and as someone who's running a P&L, what's the fight that you kind of have within yourself creatively versus, you know, the business
person? That's a great question.
Mm. All right. So the first question, I would say you have to ask yourself the fight. I think that there's an answer that kind of answers both of these, which is you have to identify what your purpose is. And I think there's a big difference between being an artist and being a creative. And so I think everybody, when presented with leadership opportunities, you have to say, is it worth it for me to give up being an artist, mm-hmm. To lead artists or to take on the role of accomplishing something? I think art in itself is this very subjective thing in which you are pouring your experiences and your view into something that will create or elicit an emotional response. And being a creative is actually more so solving a problem or a need, whether that's like a communications problem, like we would like to tell all of these particular clients this new message or announce this product, and we want to do it in a way that is really effective, and we want to do it in a way that's memorable, and that's the problem we're trying to solve. The artist wants to create art that they feel would do the thing, but the creative has to look at science and has to look at analytics and has to look at, okay, well, who is that audience? Let's look at the actual research. And so I think the first question is are you an artist, or are you willing to solve the problems and understand that the value you bring to this opportunity is how well you can solve that problem? How well can you actually,
I've never heard anyone say that. And that's such a great,
yeah, this is,
that's great. I think too, because a lot of people look at it like artists are the ones who want to create and they don't care if there's money involved or not. They're going to create no matter what. And creatives are more of the people who don't mind if they monetize their gift. But I like how you broke it down, because I feel like you broke it down more. Actually, creatives are actually the ones who want to solve the problems. Mm. And they actually want to be involved with the bigger picture. And artists sometimes are more individual or more disconnected from the bigger problems. They're just creating, which I think is fine. Like, I think that's great. Yeah. But in the context of a business, how you're talking about it, like, I've never heard it explained that way before. And so, like, when someone is engaging you in the sense of marketing, because every company is marketing right now, but with the rise of AI and all kinds of stuff that's been happening around social media, companies like yours have to have been very innovative to last. Mm-hmm. And so tell us about, like, the difference between, like, what you would have done traditionally and what you're doing now because of the day we live in.
Oh man, we don't have enough time to get into that.
We don't have very much time left, but it's just like, if you even have like a one or two liners, because there's people who want to engage marketing. I've talked to the vast majority of businesses I've talked to that are starting, marketing's not even in their budget line.
No.
Because they're just using social media and they're just using AI because they don't even know how to engage. Like I have a friend who called me and said, hey, do you know of a good PR company with marketing for our new media project? And I'm like, the last five people I've sent to PR companies like that have had zero effect. And they paid a lot of money. And so like, tell us what you've done in the sense of like how you've had to respond to where there is not impact in traditional marketing anymore in the same way that there used to be.
Sure. Well, okay. So quickly, I started off with doing creative services, which was things like branding, making videos, doing logos, doing pamphlets, brochures, all of those sort of things. So we got good at like writing copy that was like creative and got people like paying attention and writing ads and things like that. And then marketing is more of like the scientific distribution of all of that and effectiveness, conversions, reporting and analytics. And so we just slowly started to realize we see the value of all this, but we can't prove the value of all this creative. And so the marketing department got born at Verse out of the need to bring value. And again, I think our adaptability has always been based on the mission, which is for us to create the greatest impact. And so we don't have like a, we don't have a profitability. We have to stay in business and we have to make enough money to stay in business and have a healthy business. But we're judging ourselves mostly on our impact and how well are we doing with the dollars that you spend on us? Because if we can not only do the best, but also communicate back to you what we did with that dollar and how it made you more money, how it accomplished your goals or solved your problem, then we have a really good partnership. If we just take from you like a vendor, then it, we find ourselves in this seat of constantly trying to trick people into, or other agencies are constantly just trying to figure out how to spend money. And so,
you know, Justin, as you talk, I'm thinking to myself, you should write a book.
Thanks, Bob.
And he did. That's why he's saying that. Yeah. And he did. How's the book?
So the book is written for people who lead creative people, for CEOs, for leaders, for CMOs, and for VPs of marketing and creative teams, who maybe have been told really good leadership truths that apply in a general sense, but they actually, they're lies in the sense of when you apply them into leading creative people. Like, you know, an accountant, when they add the math, it doesn't matter if they had a good day or a bad day, the math is the same whether they are feeling good or feeling bad. But when a creative is trying to tell a story and they've had a really bad day, they can pull from that for a very depressing story. And they can also detract from that when they're trying to solve for selling a story. And so we lead these teams who are, we're constantly trying to get consistently great work and we want high performers. And yet we're applying, you know, leadership principles that work really well for type A and for, you know, black and white production, but they don't work really well for high EQ, highly emotionally intelligent, creative people. And so the book is called The Creative Squeeze, and it's how to get the most out of your creative team. I think we're all feeling that with inflation and with all of the changes that are happening in technology. And so I kind of, it's a very human written book from a lot of my experiences, a lot of my failures over the last 20 years of leading creative teams. And then it's a lot of pointing to technology, systems, processes, and what I did in light of those failures. So I hope it's just a powerhouse of value. It's birthed from the same idea of everything else we do at Verse, which is just I want to help and bring as much value as I can to other creative teams. I'm hoping we can stop some of the burnout and some of the negativity around hiring and leading creative people.
I love that. Yeah. Wow.
Well, Justin, like I've never seen Sean speechless. So tell our listeners who might want, you know, might be looking for you, how do we get a hold of you? How do we get a hold of your book? How do we get a hold of your company?
Sure. Feel free to reach out to my email directly, justin@versecreative.com. It's V as in Victor, E-R-S, no E after that because it's Dutch for fresh, creative.com. So justin@versecreative.com. And you can also, I'm pretty active on Instagram at Justin Price Creative.
And Justin, who's your ideal person to reach out to you? Like who would you want to, as a client, to reach out to you?
I think for the most part, we work with nonprofit organizations. So somebody who's looking for either creative services or marketing services within their nonprofit. We work with some of the largest and we work with even some that are down, you know, in the $1 and $2 million revenues will hire us for creative projects. We work with a lot of professional services, businesses that are Christian owned. And that's so if awesome. You know, if you're a Christian, you own a professional service, we just found that the shared values of our team and your desire for your business to have those same kind of values works way better than working with like maybe if you're conservative and you got this very liberal creative team trying to get you to be something you're not. It doesn't work very well. And we've found that we've got really great relationships in those departments. We've done a lot in manufacturing as well as professional high-end B2B. So those kind of industries, we've found that, you know, anybody who's looking for a very human and very like ethics-driven type of business, we are probably one of the top three agencies in the country for working with those kind of organizations that have a faith element.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for being on. Thanks for sharing the story of your wife and your daughter and now your remarriage with a new baby. We're so glad to hear just what God's done. I love what God can do. And I think for our listeners and for our viewers, you guys are constantly looking for those stories of like in the midst of life, the ups and downs, the highs and lows. how does God show up, and how do we show up with God? And I think Justin, you did a great job of explaining that and just your story. And I think it kind of helps train us and helps train other people who are going through it right now to go, okay, there is a story on the other end of this too, if I just push through. So thanks for being on today.
Thanks so much, you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.